Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. Thank you for joining me this morning. This show brought to you each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And mine is just out of reach. So as soon as I introduce my guests, I'll be reaching over there and grabbing my Harvest Ridge Coffee. I'm on refill number 3. Before we get started with today's guests who are here to talk about veterans issues, I do want to say thank you to Scott Hardy for filling in for me last week. I was unexpectedly taken ill, and I've always been very honest about my own mental health struggles because I want people out there to understand that, you know, if you break your leg, it's nothing to be ashamed of. You go to the doctor, you get a cast on your leg, and you get better. Well, my husband has been having some physical health difficulties. He's on dialysis now, and we're going through a big transition in our home life, in our family, and I'm training to become his personal home healthcare assistant. Now, I won't get any kind of CNA or anything behind my name, but I've got to pass this test so that I can care for him at home so that he can get dialysis at home. And let me tell you, it's very, very stressful. And unfortunately, it kind of got me down last week. I'll be honest with you. My mental health just couldn't cope with being with you every day, even though you always bring a smile to my face. So I just want to say that if you feel a little bit overwhelmed, seek help from a professional guidance counselor. I did that. Made me feel a lot better. I'm back at work today, and all is well at the Shinnecase household, so we're happy about that. And again, you know, this is a big transition in my life, and every time you have big plans, God laughs and says, ha, 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 I'm going to make a different plan for you. So I'm experiencing that. I know a lot of people out there always experience this difference every day. And so just keep on the sunny side if you can and seek professional help. And that's the best advice I can give. Well, today's the day we always talk about the veterans. And so I'm excited because the first guest I have today is not a veteran. But she's one of those people who appreciates veterans. She's an old hand at the Mary Griffith Show. I mean, my golly gee, she could probably do the show. I could probably take the morning off again. Jillian Schaefer is here from Mendon Unity High School. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be back.
It is great to be back. We're going to be talking about Wreaths Across America and the Honor Flight.
Yes.
And you're very involved with both of those, and we'll get to that in a moment. Barry Chain is also here. Barry is very bright. He's brilliant, in fact. And the reason I know he's the smartest guy in the world is he married the prettiest girl in our class. So good for you for grabbing
right.
A good one.
Only the best.
Only the best. Prettiest girl in our class. Absolutely. He nabbed her. Okay. So, Barry, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here today. Because this is the day we talk about veterans issues, and you are a veteran.
Yes. Well, first of all, thanks for having us here, and I'm particularly proud of Jillian and her work that she does here with the Honor Flight Board. And I've had the privilege to be work with the Wreaths Across America program for 6 years now,
wow.
I guess. And it all started one day with I can affectionately call her Grandma Pam Schaefer when she was post executive director for the Red Cross. She said, "Hey, you know, we have a 4-H club, and we want to do something good for veterans, and we think this is what we want to do. Can you help me?" And I had didn't know Pam at that point, and I said,
wow.
"I think we can."
Powerhouse, dynamo.
Absolutely. So I was able to work with a veterans group that I belong to now called Together with Tri-State Veterans Support Group, and now Quincy Service Club, and we were able to get two very sizable donations to kind of kickstart the Wreaths program. So we're very happy that not only us, but many, many donors out there and families and individuals have made it so that we can honor our area veterans that are at the gravesite at National Cemetery, as well as some other cemeteries around the area that Jillian and her 4-H club sponsors.
Right. Because we know we're very fortunate in this area. We have a national cemetery in Quincy. We have one in Keokuk.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the Illinois Veterans Home, which is the resting place for many veterans. But my father's a veteran. He's not in one of those cemeteries. He's in a regular, I guess you'd call it, cemetery in a family plot. And so Wreaths Across America can put a wreath at Christmas time on the grave of any veteran anywhere. And I guess ideally your goal would be to have every veteran with a wreath on their grave. And we'll work on that. We won't put that all on Jillian right now. But Jillian, let's talk about Wreaths Across America, because here it is. It's what, July 14th?
Yes.
What are we talking about? Something that happens in December. But it takes that long to get it going, doesn't it?
It does. We are always welcoming lots of donations. So we start early so we can get a lot of donations so we can keep Wreaths Across America going. It's not just one and done. We plan so we can have this for years to come. And so, yes, we are starting until July to get a lot of donations. And, yes, yeah.
So the idea is there's a cost to buy this wreath. They're mostly manufactured up in the northeast part of America, made out of real live evergreen boughs. And then they're shipped literally all across the United States of America, and different chapters like the Willing Workers in IRSA, the 4-H Club, can be one of the groups that helps spearhead this group. And then you go to the national cemeteries, put a wreath on every grave. People can do it themselves at a private cemetery, or if things get big enough, there can be a big celebration or commemoration, I guess I should say, at any cemetery. It just depends. So if somebody listening at Greenmount or Calvary or, you know, wherever, you do it in the other parts of Adams County as well, if people wanted to say, I want to decorate every veteran's grave this December with a wreath, now's the time to start the fundraising effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are, we're also looking to expand, so because we've gotten so big we have so many donations coming in, we are looking to expand to different cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
Different cemeteries and talking to different 4-H groups. Yeah, and it's just right on our Facebook page, the Wreaths Across America Quincy location. Yes. So.
Okay. So the IRSA Willing Worker started this, but now you're rolling it. It's like leadership.
Mm-hmm.
The best part of leadership is making sure that the program can carry on. So you have to train other leaders in other 4-H groups or other church groups or other veterans groups or whatever, that this is possible. And if a community wants to get behind this and put one of these wreaths on every grave of a veteran at their city cemetery, it's perfectly possible for them to do it. How do they get started? Should they contact you? I mean, if I'm sitting there listening to this right now and I say, hey, you know what, that's really a great idea. I don't just want to maybe decorate my father's grave at Calvary Cemetery. I'd like to see if maybe I could at least do a section or, you know, do whatever. How would I get started, Jillian Schaefer?
Well,
is Barry's like, I'm gonna let her answer, but he's there to back up.
Yeah, we would love to, you know, for us to get in contact, like you to contact us, because I mean, we've had a really strong program for about 6 years, but yeah, we are looking to expand. So if you want to start somewhere and you need help, we'll love to help you out.
So your Facebook page, give us your Facebook page, because you would be the initial point of contact, right?
Actually, I'm not the chairman this year.
Okay,
Wreaths Across America, yes, Quincy location.
Quincy location,
yes,
okay.
Yes, that is our Facebook page, and that is how you can get in contact with us.
Jillian, it seems like you've been on my show since you were like 6, so I guess I should probably give a shout out. How old are you now? Who are your parents? What grade are you in school? And where will you be going this fall? Because I don't know these things. I keep thinking, she's got to be getting older. Surely she'll graduate from high school at some point in time. So tell us all this. Give a shout out to your parents, number one.
So my parents are Tom and Janelle Schaefer of IRSA. I am 16 years old, and I go to Unity High School. I'm going to be a junior there. Only a junior, yes. Yes, it's crazy.
Have you decided what you want to be when you grow up?
No, I haven't. Is
the military a career you're considering?
Maybe. I've looked into it a little bit, mm-hmm. but yes, I don't know what college I'm going into. I don't know. It's
Illinois.
Just...
There's no other college, so just don't even worry about any of the rest of them.
I don't know about that, but...
Well, See, you teach these kids some leadership skills, and they snap right back at you.
She'll be an Air Force ROTC. Oh. That'll be a perfect fit.
Maybe she'll get an appointment to the Air Force Academy.
I don't see why not.
I mean, if nothing else, the scenery's great.
Yes.
So, I mean, obviously, you grew up in a kind of a farming background, but a public service background with your family. So you've got a lot of options ahead of you. But let's just get through your junior year at Mendon, okay, before I play in your graduate and postgraduate degree. Okay, fantastic. So, folks, if you're interested in pursuing this, Wreaths Across America is taking donations, and there is a local chapter here put on by the URSA 4-H, the URSA Willing Workers. And, again, it can expand to however you want to do it. Obviously, national cemeteries, the Illinois Veterans Home, private cemeteries. The idea would be to get every veteran's grave marked with one of these beautiful wreaths for the Christmas season, and that's why we have to start in July. The cost per wreath, it's not that much, but it's like volume, volume, volume. The more you purchase, obviously, the total cost comes down, right?
Mm-hmm. So a cost per wreath is $17 per wreath. There's more, and the way you can donate on the Facebook page, we take Venmo, you can email, you can send mail to our chairman, mm-hmm. Allie Carlin, but yes, and there's a lot of ways
there's a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Don't count on me for Venmo, I can't figure it out, but people out there may go, Griffith, you don't know how to do it, but trust me, the world knows how to do it.
Yes.
Okay, now, Barry Chain, let's talk a little bit about Honor Flight.
Absolutely.
You just had, we'll get back to you, don't worry. Now, Jillian, you're not out of the conversation. We just have to get Barry in here. You just had, before we move forward, you just had the first female Honor Flight. Several of the ladies I know were on that.
Yeah. Including my wife.
Yes, including your lovely wife, who's also an Air Force veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about that. How did that go?
It was spectacular. I think the funny side is, I think one of the lady veterans said, geez, I didn't know this was going to be a three-day event, because we had a little five-hour delay in Washington, D.C. due to flights and weather. And so we ended up having our welcome home at Hannibal LaGrange at 3:30 a.m., but it all got done. But it was a fabulous 2 days, and this one was just unique in that the American Legion and Hannibal, basically, and some of our
who
board members.
A female commander.
Right, yes. And so they sponsored day one at Hannibal, and so all the female veterans got to tour around Hannibal and see the sights and be honored on the cruise with an American flag for every one of the female veterans that went on the honor flight. And I tell you, just on our board member, we have this awesome person. Her name is Sharon Lake. And between Sharon and the American Legion, they were the energy behind putting this great event together.
It was kind of a social day in Hannibal. They did like the boat ride and they did some of that stuff together, mm-hmm. and just did some bonding. And they were local ladies, but also some people came from other parts of the United States to be part of this female honor flight. And then, like you said, I remember asking my father, who's a World War II veteran, years ago when he was alive, I said, Dad, would you like to go on something like that? And he said, Mary Kathleen, that would kill me. He goes, I couldn't get up that early in the morning,
right.
Fly on a plane, be there all day, come home late at night. He said, no, he wasn't particularly interested at that point in time because his health just wasn't maybe as good as it should have been. I kind of wish I'd have pushed him a little bit, but we'd been to Washington. He'd seen those monuments mm-hmm. before, but that is one of the aspects of Honor Flight. Everyone who goes along has an escort. So again, even people who are not in peak physical health can still go if they're in a wheelchair, if they have a special medical need. There are nurses and stuff that go along. You really try to make it available to everybody.
Right, absolutely. We, our main mission is to make the Veterans Day as best and greatest that it can be.
And you can't control the weather.
Right.
And you can't control other things like that or flight delays,
mm-hmm.
but you can get them comfortable and
Yeah, and you know, in the application process, we ask veterans to put down their medical history and all those sort of things, and we do have a doctor that travels with us on each of the flights, and you know, we just adapt to what the veteran needs. We have Denman donated 20 wheelchairs for us, so we take a number of wheelchairs as we need on each mission, and we just make sure that every veteran's needs, if they have an indication that they want to travel with us, is met.
And obviously there are honor flights. I know there's one Land of Lincoln. It's Springfield based. We have our one here in Quincy. There are honor flights all over the United States. But if somebody hailed from Quincy originally, they could come back to depart from this area too, even if they lived in California, I guess. But
right,
they wanted to be on this honor flight, that would certainly be possible.
Right, absolutely. I just, it's a nice segue because mission number 77, and that we've taken 2,441 veterans to Washington, D.C. thus far, but 30 veterans, all from Adams County, will be traveling to Washington, D.C. on August 14th as part of the Adams County Bicentennial Great River Honor Flight, mission number 77. So we're really excited about that, and we got some special things we're turning on for that effort. So it will be nice, very nice.
Perfect segue into the break. So thank you very much for doing that. When you mentioned these people that are going on the honor flight, are there any World War II veterans still going? I mean, it almost is impossible to think that somebody would almost even be alive, much less go on the trip.
Yeah, I think around the country there's many hubs like ours, but there are some out there. But we are on a Great River Honor Flight. We have not taken a World War II veteran in probably 4, maybe 5 years now.
Well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. My father's birthday was July 6th. He would have been 100. So,
right,
you know, he joined on his 18th birthday. The minute he could join, he joined up. So, you know, those guys are all gone.
Right.
You know, but it's great to know that Korea, Vietnam, Gulf War, everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter. And age is really not part of it. It's just if you're a veteran and you've served and you want to go to our nation's capital to see those monuments, that's what it's all about. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about this upcoming mission number 77 of the Great River Honor Flight, how you can contribute monetarily to make that happen. And we'll hear from one of their board members, who's also Jillian Schaefer. She has so many hats. She's like Bartholomew Cubbins here with her 100 hats perched on top of her head. But first, we'll pause to hear from Rex Battery. They always sponsor our morning market report. And we'll also give you a chance to learn how you can get tickets to Jersey Boys. So stay tuned. Good morning and welcome back. Jillian Schaefer and Barry Chain are my guests today, and we are talking about a great subject, which is our veterans, as we do once a month here on the Mary Griffith Show. Jillian Schaefer has been very involved in Wreaths Across America. And again, you can go to the Facebook page, Wreaths Across America, click on that Quincy, and you'll see what they're doing with the URSA 4-H Willing Workers Club to try to spread that all around. Barry Chain is here, and he is with the Great River Honor Flight, and Jillian is also a board member of Great River Honor Flight. We were just getting started talking about Mission 77. So, Jillian, I want to turn it back to you before we get into the details of Mission 77. What is it about your involvement in veterans? Here you are, a 16-year-old young lady. What is it about this cause that has really inspired you, and you're just getting more and more and more involved in veterans causes? Tell us, put us in the mind of a 16-year-old young lady who, you know, cares about the past, heaven forbid.
Well, I do love history, but Barry has also been a great mentor for me. He's gotten me talking to him about Wreaths Across America, and then my sister also did Great River Honor Flight. She was an intern, and so then when Barry asked her if I would like to do it, I mean, I I was like, yeah, of course.
So you have been on an honor flight.
Well, I will be going on the one in August.
Okay.
So Mission 77,
so
yes.
It is for people to also go on the flight to assist and then to also spread the news, help with fundraising. So you are part of that whole process to keep it going because this is literally like a chain. Very good, very chain.
I like it.
From hand to hand. Because as some people, you know, get older and drop out maybe of being actively involved or they get on another board and they don't have much time for this, there's a younger group or a different group coming forward. How many people on your board of directors, Barry Chain?
We have roughly, 14 or 15. The beauty of the board is we have folks from all walks of life. In all levels of experience, from Illinois, from Missouri. And then we also, about 6 or 7 years ago, I guess we established the student intern program. And so we go out to the principals of the schools and get their recommendations on student interns, such as Jillian. And we have two that help us from Illinois and two from Missouri. So it works out great. It's a great learning
fantastic
tool.
Mm-hmm. So, Jillian, have you ever been to Washington, D.C.?
I have.
Of course she has.
With with Unity. They do an amazing program where the kids can go out to Washington for a couple days. But yes, I've been there.
Okay. It'll be different, though, this time.
It will be.
Because it'll be very focused on the honoring of these men and women. And Barry, let's go back to this. This is a very special Adams County only for the bicentennial. And, of course, Quincy wouldn't be here without the War of 1812. A lot of people don't know that. But back in the day, instead of getting a paycheck, sometimes the government said, hey, come bear arms against the dreaded English and we'll give you land out there in the hinterlands. Well, a lot of people got out here and said, I ain't staying here. But John Wood did, and he bought a lot of those land grants then from those War of 1812 veterans, and that's how he got to be so wealthy and prosperous. He set up a land office, and he bought and sold and traded all these different, instead of a pension, they gave you land out in the Wild Wild West, and Quincy was the Wild Wild West back then. There wasn't even a Quincy back then, so that's how it all started. So Quincy's had a rich history in all of the wars, and including the fact that our congressman voted against going to war in World War I because we're so German, we didn't want to go to war against the Germans. We thought, well, let's diplomatically solve this. We eventually had to change our minds. But so we've had a long history. So what is this? How is this mission going to be different, or it just happens to be a bicentennial mission?
Well, I think this is by design, right?
Okay,
that we want to make sure that with all possible that we could take all Adams County veterans. And so maybe just a little bit of history on this is that with the all women's mission, then we had an all Pike County, Illinois mission. That was actually, quote, two busloads. We had an all 126 service and supply. So we have done some tailored groups in all Rawls County mission.
Fantastic.
A couple years ago. So, you know, we've had the opportunity to kind of, quote, package together. So, because, you know, as an old GI myself, there's nothing better than traveling with your buddies. And so many of these veterans, I would suppose, I don't know yet, because I'm actually going to lead this trip in August, will know each other. They've probably farmed together, been in business together. And I think for me, having done this almost 12 years, I think the beauty of recognizing veterans for their service is twofold. First of all, the obvious, recognizing for their service and what they did to make our country strong and safe. Secondly, is the skills that they learned in the military, they brought back, if you will, to Adams County, and they became great farmers, you know, great doctors, great business leaders. And I think if you ask them that, they would say, yeah, the things I brought back from the Army, the Air Force, the beautiful Air Force, of course, the
and
Navy.
The fabulous Navy.
The Marines made a difference in their life.
Sure.
In their
and
families.
And made a difference in all of our lives because of that.
And made a difference in Adams County.
Well, logistically, this is almost a nightmare to think I'm going to get all these people from Adams County out of their beds to Washington, D.C. to see all these sites and back home sleeping in their bed, really not within a 24-hour period, but within, quote, one day, whatever you want to call it, dawn to dawn, I guess. But I guess when you had that big layover of 5 hours, typical military situation, snafu, right? There's nothing we can do about it, so let's just pass the time and make the best of it.
Well, Southwest turned on the spigots to make our five-hour delay as good as it could be, and so they were very gracious in how they treated the veterans.
You know, I always say when I see somebody in the airport traveling in uniform, I'm like, smart. Because you're probably going to get upgraded to first class. There's a lot of people that give up their seats voluntarily. And let me tell you, if there's any empty seats in first class, that steward or stewardess is usually coming down the aisle to say, would you like to come up and join us? Because people do appreciate military service. Barry, from your point of view, I mean, it's hard to say. It's kind of like saying, who's your favorite child or something like that. But Arlington, Iwo Jima Memorial, the Vietnam Wall, I mean, obviously, there's different things that appeal to different people in different age groups. Mm-hmm. Even our Vietnam veterans. Are there Korean veterans still going, or is that getting pretty thin?
There's a few Korean veterans going still. A large number of Vietnam, and then we have a category we call Armed Forces veterans, so those veterans that serve between those conflicts. And so our threshold now is 1985 and earlier are eligible to participate. And next year we'll actually relook that because we're anticipating the opening of the Desert Shield Desert Storm Memorial. So that will then generate, you know, us changing the criteria so those veterans can see their memorial.
Absolutely.
But
So that Vietnam Wall, and I've had experience with it, interestingly, when I saw the Vietnam Wall for the first time, I was not with a veteran. I was with someone who was deferred and went to graduate school and worked for the Department of Defense as an engineer designing bridges and stuff like that for the Vietnam conflict, but never had to go and bear arms. And it was very different to be there with someone who escaped service because they had the brain power to stay in graduate school and they were willing to work for the U.S. Department of Defense in Washington, D.C. It's everybody's experience with the war is different. Even those who aren't veterans mm-hmm. have an experience with whatever war conflict was their childhood war, I guess,
right.
I will say. So for these people, especially, you know, the Vietnam veterans, that was a very rough time for our country, and they didn't always get the welcome home that they deserved. Do you find a lot of them are finally letting that closure, like, wow, I finally got a thank you?
Yeah, I've witnessed it.
You're getting emotional.
I've witnessed the emotions at the Vietnam Wall. It's mm-hmm. powerful.
And this was powerful for this gentleman because he knew.
Yeah.
He knew that he was alive and prosperous that day and that it could have been very different. His name could have been on that wall if maybe he hadn't had the advantage of having the brain power to be an engineer, the deferment to go to graduate school, the ability to work for the Department of Defense in Washington rather than being in a forward location. So everybody's impacted.
Mm-hmm. I think that if we, if the honor flight provides one thing among many things, that we can provide a respectful closure for veterans who need that closure, then that's celebration for us. And whether it's done very quietly and privately or very publicly, it doesn't matter. Whatever works, whatever makes the veteran feel that they have that closure, I think is extremely important, and we really work kind of hard to make sure that, you know, when we get to that first stop, that's Vietnam, Korea, and the Lincoln Memorial, mm-hmm. and we very purposely say, this is not a guided tour, because we want the veterans to be on their own if that's what their wish is, and I think that works perfectly, And then I think you were getting to what's the favorite. I would say if you polled the veterans, our favorite stop is the changing of the guard.
At Arlington.
Yeah, it's it's so special, and goodness to Arlington, because they actually allow us to drive the bus right to the place where the changing of the guard is held, and so that's very, very convenient for anybody who's been to the cemetery.
That's not the usual way you're treated.
That's not the norm. So that's, you know, that's for great. Many reasons is very memorable.
Time, people unable to maybe mobilize. Yeah, that is fantastic, and that changing of the guard. The other thing that's so interesting is the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. We won't have really unknown soldiers in the future because of, you know, our capability of genetics and technology, but there still will be, buried in foreign lands or other places, there will always be men and women who lost their lives, and I don't mean to be graphic, but there may be nothing left to bury. I mean, my Uncle Don has a tombstone at Calvary Cemetery. He's not under it. His body was never recovered. I mean, there's just so much, you know, about our military veterans that I think we take for granted. Another thing I think a lot of these guys and gals look forward to, if you're from a farming community, vacation is not a word that is in your agenda. So you don't take the family to, you know, out east for 2 weeks and we'll stop and see all these great things. Eighth grade school trips get to go do that, but moms and pops are too busy working on the farm. For a lot of people, this will be their first chance to see how our nation has carved out all these different monuments, whether it be Iwo Jima, Arlington, the Vietnam Wall. Mm-hmm. I had a unique experience at the Korean Wall when I was there just on a sightseeing trip. The gentleman who was our little guide that day, you know, all those pictures are emblazoned in that black thing, and he was standing there telling about the Korean War, and he goes, and you'll notice this young man, what a handsome, strapping lad. He goes, that's me. And so it was really interesting. There was a picture of him in his Korean War era uniform. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of these veterans too, it's a very personal experience to meet other docents that are there that also share these war experiences. So it's very, very special. If folks want to become part of Honor Flight, how do they get on the list to go to an Honor Flight?
Right. So we have our website is greatriverhonorflight.com. So there you can find an application for a veteran, and if you want to be a guardian to provide that support to a veteran on one of our missions, there's a guardian application there as well. Most veterans designate who they want to be their guardian, but we always have some number of guardians that are some number of veterans who need guardians, and so we maintain that list and contact people if we need your services.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's how you can get on the list. Maybe most importantly is, how can we contribute so the Great River Honor Flight continues? I would think, as much as you advertise and have all these fundraisers and everything, I think you'd just be rolling in the dough. But it costs a lot of money to get out to Washington, D.C., get all this transportation that day, get everybody fed, watered, and logistically moved about, and then back home. Mm-hmm. In a safe and careful manner. Do you have an estimate per person or per flight what it costs?
So, you know, it's a bit driven by the cost of airfare, which changes depending on what time of year you're in. But generally speaking, a trip costs us right around $25,000. And that, like you say, that's the airfare for 56 people. Bus here and bus in Washington, D.C., a couple meals during the day, you know, drinks and all the other associated logistics that goes with that. It's a lot of moving parts. We're blessed to have a great board, and everybody's bought in to
making it
the day.
If you've got Jillian on board, Jillian Schaefer, she's good at raising money for a lot of good causes. Well, even though it's not your first trip to Washington, D.C., you're going to see this through the eyes of people who have been part of why there is a war memorial there. And so that's going to be very special for you. And, it, you know, like you said, it really is very special when you see that. You know, like I said, I even there's a wonderful Navy one. You probably won't go to it, but it's just a guy looking out at sea.
We do.
You do.
We actually stop by there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just, I swear to God, they used my dad. I mean, it just, I came around and I saw that in the little square and I went, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. there's my dad standing on the bow of his ship in World War II looking out at the ocean.
Yeah.
It's just really amazing the emotions it will stir. Great River Honor Flight, 77th mission, all Adams County, part of our bicentennial. If you want to contribute, go to Great River Honor Flight and contribute. If you want to be part of Wreaths Across America, please go to their Facebook page and pledge money. And if you'd like to be involved in helping them expand to maybe a cemetery in your town, please, Jillian Schaefer and her gang at the Willing Workers URSA 4-H are ready to help you. And other 4-H clubs are getting involved as well. Thank you very much. Anything I forgot before I let you go?
No, thank you, and bless you and your husband, and hope all your training goes well.
Oh, boy. I hope so, too.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very, very much.